just a book that's been written on," said Harry, tugging it out of her grip. She looked as though she might have a seizure. Hermione, who had hastily packed her things, grabbed Harry by the arm and frog-marched him away. "She'll ban you from the library if you're not careful. Why did you have to bring that stupid book?" "It's not my fault she's barking mad, Hermione. Or do you think she overheard you being rude about Filch? I've always thought there might be something going on between them." "Oh, ha, ha." Enjoying the fact that they could speak normally again, they made their way along the deserted, lamplit corridors back to the common room, arguing about whether or not Filch and Madame Pince were secretly in love with each other. "Baubles," said Harry to the fat lady, this being the new festive password.
"Same to you,"
said the fat lady with a roguish grin, and she swung forward to admit them.
"Hi, Harry,"
said Romilda Vane, the moment he had climbed through the portrait hole.
"Fancy a gillywater?"
Hermione gave him a what-did-I-tell-you look over her shoulder. "No thanks," said Harry quickly. "I don't like it much."
"Well, take these anyway,"
said Romilda, thrusting a box into his hands.
"Chocolate cauldrons. They've got fire whiskey in them. My gran sent them to me, but I don't like them."
"Oh,
right. Thanks a lot,"
said Harry, who could not think what else to say. I'm just going over here with..." He hurried off behind Hermione, his voice tailing away feebly.
"Told you,"
said Hermione succinctly.
"Sooner you ask someone, sooner they'll all leave you alone and you can..."
But her face suddenly turned blank. She had just spotted Ron and Lavender, who were entwined in the same armchair.
"Well, good night, Harry,"
said Hermione, though it was only 7 o'clock in the evening, and she left for the girls' dormitory without another word. Harry went to bed, comforting himself that there was only one more day of lessons to struggle through, plus Slughorn's party, after which he and Ron would depart together for the Burrow. It now seemed impossible that Ron and Hermione would make up with each other before the holidays began, but perhaps, somehow, the break would give them time to calm down, think better of their behavior. But his hopes were not high, and they sank still lower after enduring a transfiguration lesson with them both next day. They had just embarked upon the immensely difficult topic of human transfiguration. Working in front of mirrors, they were supposed to be changing the color of their own eyebrows. Hermione laughed unkindly at Ron's disastrous first attempt, during which he somehow managed to give himself a spectacular handlebar moustache. Ron retaliated by doing a cruel but accurate impression of Hermione jumping up and down in her seat every time Professor McGonagall asked a question, which Lavender and Parvati found deeply amusing, and which reduced Hermione to the verge of tears again. She raced out of the classroom on the bell, leaving half her things behind. Harry, deciding that her need was greater than Ron's just now, scooped up her remaining possessions and followed her. He finally tracked her down as she emerged from a girl's bathroom on the floor below. She was accompanied by Luna Lovegood, who was patting her vaguely on the back.
"Oh, hello, Harry," said Luna. "Did you know one of your eyebrows is bright yellow?"
"Hi, Luna. Hermione, you left your stuff." He held out her books.
"Oh, yes,"
said Hermione in a choked voice, taking her things and turning away quickly to hide the fact that she was wiping her eyes on her pencil case.
"Thank you, Harry. Well, I'd better get going.